Probably familiar with the word utopia, the name which is given to the perfect society where the economics are perfect, where the politics are perfect, where the morality is perfect, where law and justice is perfect. Utopia is an ideal society, free of conflict, free of hunger, free of unhappiness, free of illness. And when I turned to my Bible and to the 11th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah read to us by Hannah earlier in the service, I find a description there in Isaiah chapter 11 of God's utopia. Here we have a picture in Isaiah chapter 11 of the new society that God is planning on bringing, the new society which God is already at work on. The one in which God's king is the head, where he will usher in this kingdom, and the one in whom the Spirit of God rests. And I want, just as we think about Isaiah chapter 11 for a few moments, just to think about three marks of this society as we consider the utopia that Jesus Christ came to set up when he was born in Bethlehem's stable. First of all, it's a kingdom of justice. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, says verse 3. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. We're all aware that in the kingdoms of this world, no matter how good they may be, there are sometimes miscarriages of justice. There are times when the evildoers escape punishment. There are times when the righteous go unrewarded, or the righteous may even be blamed for things that they have not done. Interestingly, whenever Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was a huge injustice done at that time, for Herod decreed that all the boys under two should be killed. And you can only think of the mothers in Israel lamenting the birth of the deaths of those children, the injustice of it, that their children, their innocent children, had done nothing. And yet they found themselves slain by the edict of a wicked king. By contrast, the rule of Jesus Christ is a righteous rule, a faithful rule. His word is law, and his word rules the world. The prophet says that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon Jesus Christ. He is not a judge who cannot tell really, even though the evidence may be in, can he be 100% in a case whether someone is innocent or not? With Jesus Christ, his judgments are always 100% true. All the resources of God are in him. He is able to carry out his program of justice. He's not a feeble judge. He is a powerful judge. And with justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. With righteousness, he will judge the needy. The first mark of this kingdom is justice. The second mark of this kingdom is harmony. Now, we live in a very unharmonious world. Wars in Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Sudan. This year, tens of thousands of people have died violently in acts of war. Then there are work conflicts. You're maybe aware of conflicts in your place of work. There's family conflicts. You're maybe aware of some of those going on. There are neighbor conflicts across the land. There are people who are at war with themselves, and there are people, many of them, who are at war with God and who are saying to God tonight, we will not have this man to rule over us. But God's utopia is described here, the harmony of it in verse 6. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest and will not be harmed or destroyed. In other words, in the kingdom that Jesus Christ sets up, natural enemies and enmities will be gone. Wolves usually eat lambs. Leopards usually eat goats. Lions usually eat calves. Children and snakes usually don't mix. But in this utopia, there is harmony, and nature, red and tooth and claw, will be gone. No fighting in this kingdom. No disputing in this kingdom. No arguing or backbiting in this kingdom. No bloodshed, no war, no violence. Whether animal or human being, this kingdom is one in which harmony reigns and harmony rules. A kingdom that this world cannot aspire to, aspires to perhaps, but never finds. But this king is able to bring in this harmony because he is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Glory. So it's a kingdom of justice. It's a kingdom of harmony. Thirdly, it's a kingdom of unity, verses 10 and 12. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Interestingly, whenever Jesus was born, the shepherds, the Jews, came to see him in the stable, but also the wise men came, non-Jews, Gentiles. Those men came from the east. They were drawn by the star to see this child that had been born. In other words, at the crib in Bethlehem, there was the Jewish people coming to see Jesus, and there was the non-Jewish people coming to see Jesus and to worship him. God's utopia is about men and women, boys and girls from north, south, east, and west gathering around Jesus Christ. The root of Jesse that's mentioned in chapter 11, verse 1, is a reference to David's family. David's father was Jesse. The child born in Bethlehem was of David's stock. And the banner his people are gathering around is the banner of his cross. The cross is the place of rest. The cross is where peace has been made. The cross is where we are to gather into this kingdom. The cross is where this king rules and reigns. The sign above his head said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The cross is where God is drawing all nations to himself. There the knowledge of God is to be found. There the peace and rest of God is to be found. There our hope and our health is to be found. In conclusion then, the Christmas message is about the coming of God's King. But never forget that the coming of God's King was just not to bring salvation to individual people. It was to establish a whole people in a kingdom that will reign forever and ever and ever. This king came to set up a kingdom, a true utopia. And that's why in people's hearts there is a yearning for utopia. We all have a yearning for utopia. We all yearn for a place where there are no injustices. We yearn for a place where there are no illnesses. We yearn for a place where there are no fightings or violence. We yearn for a place where everything is harmonious and unified and peaceful. But that can only be given in Jesus Christ. And what he gives on this earth is a foretaste of the kingdom that is to come. A kingdom of justice and of unity and of harmony. The call of this passage is to look to him today. He has come into the world to set up a banner that this kingdom would march, that this kingdom would be established. The call is to look to him today, to come to him sorry for your sins, believing he will forgive you and that he will set your feet on the road to home and to heaven. That is Jesus Christ. That is the work that he came to do. Not just to be the Savior, but to set up a kingdom of salvation. And the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God as it calls, is amongst us. It's right here. You don't have to go and search for it. It's in our midst where the word of God is preached and where the sacraments are found. That is where God's kingdom is to be found. And we enter it by faith. by faith alone in Christ alone and what he has done for us on the cross alone. I wonder, are you in the kingdom? Why not come today? Why not put your trust in this king today? This king who offers unity and who offers harmony and who offers justice forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the King Jesus Christ, our Lord, as we thought about this morning, the one who is our Savior, the one who is our Lord, the one who is the Anointed One, who came to be our prophet, our priest, and our King. We thank you that he has set up a kingdom, and we thank you that it is a place, Lord God, already of justice and of harmony and of unity. We thank you that it is a place where all these natural battles have been done away with and the Prince of Peace rules and reigns. And we thank you that the government is upon his shoulders and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Help us, we pray, Father, to hear the call of the kingdom. Help us to answer the call of the kingdom. But most of all, like those wise men, to bow at the feet of Jesus Christ and to worship the one who came into this world so that we could go from this world into the glories of heaven. Father, continue with us as we close our service, for we ask these things in his name. Amen.